No one wants his or her life to end meaninglessly. And that is certainly what happens if there is no life after death or final judgment.
International human rights attorney Dr. John Warwick Montgomery talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Religions other than Christianity provide no assurance in this regard. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is at the very heart of Christianity and is the most compelling reason to believe the claims of Christ to be God come to earth for the salvation of mankind. The evidence for the resurrection is so powerful that it would stand up in any court of law.
You can meet and hear Dr. John Warwick Montgomery making a legal case for the resurrection of Christ at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org. The headline at Politico reads, Macron to review report calling for reform of Islam in France. That is, of course, the president of France. He has received a report from a think tank that is suggesting some changes in France that would help immigrants there, Islamic immigrants there, to incorporate themselves, to assimilate into French society. Among those things are things like increasing Arabic education, Arabic language education in the schools. Has this been tried before, and what has happened when it's been tried before, if so? And what about other European Union countries that are facing an influx of Islamic immigrants? Joining us to talk about this piece and about the reform plan for Islamic institutions in France, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Emeritus Professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Professor at Large with 1517, the Legacy Project, Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including his latest, Be Always Ready. He joins us from Strasbourg, France. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
You're most welcome.
At the end of an article covering this, this is an opinion that is quoted, and I want to know what you think about it. Not only will an Islam of France, that's the program we're discussing, not protect the French from radical Islam, but it risks fragilizing the Republic Pact. The state is not for comforting communities in their difference, but to the contrary, promoting a common foundation. What are your thoughts there?
Well, this is very interesting. This statement comes from a member of a political party which has just renamed itself Les Républicains, the Republicans. It is probably the closest to a Republican party in the United States. It's to the right politically. The present government is quite an anomaly. The President Macron was a member of the hierarchy within the equivalent of a Labor Party, the left wing, and he couldn't stand it. And so when the previous president, Hollande, ceased his mandate and couldn't get elected again, Macron created a new party. And this new party is more or less centrist, but it's much more to the right than anything else. And, of course, this has really irritated the traditional rightist party, the conservative party called Les Républicains. And, therefore, any chance they get to criticize Macron and anything he's doing, they take that opportunity. And the situation is, at the moment, that a think tank of more or less of liberal stripe called the Institut Montaigne has published a detailed report on Islamic influence in France and influence coming from Islamic countries into France. And this has frightened the wits out of everybody. Indeed, this report became the front page of Le Figaro, which is certainly the most influential French newspaper. And the Macron government, the present government in power, wants to solve this problem by having a state control, really, over Islam, by creating a kind of French Islam that will not be extremist, okay? And the proposal has, of course, given the conservatives, the Republicans, a chance to go after him. And the statement that you quoted is the kind of criticism that's being presented of what Macron is doing. The representative of the Republicans, a gentleman by the name Ritaillou, a senator, says that creating a French Islam is not going to protect the French people, and it's going to create a problem because of the separation of church and state that exists in France. Among the other proposals that have been set forth is the proposal to increase Arabic instruction in the public schools. And he says the trouble with that is that it simply increases the sectarian situation, and what we need to do is to create a common foundation, and the common foundation is, of course, the French language. Okay, well, what should be our reaction to this? Well, first of all, it is certainly unrealistic to think that a French Islam can be created. It's unrealistic because Islam is not simply a religion. It is a totalitarian political entity. And what the Muslims do anytime they get control is to force Islamic values on everybody. I mean, there isn't anything roughly resembling democracy in Islamic countries. Turkey is a perfect example of this at the moment. So that really is unrealistic. And the idea of increasing Arabic instruction in the public schools, I don't know that there's much of any Arabic instruction in the public schools. The trouble with this is that, just as this critic has said, that's not going to solve problems at all. One of the great things in France is that there is a national language. There is an official language. This is not the case in the United States. English is not the official language of the United States, but French is the official language in France. I am now in the process of obtaining French citizenship. And in order to do this, I have to be examined on my ability to speak French, for goodness sake. And that's done here in France to make sure that people are all operating, at least linguistically, on the same wavelength. So Macron is desperately trying to deal with the increasing influence of Islam through Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, for example, the extremists have two categories. They have the ideologues and they have the translators. And the translators produce French programming, for goodness sake. And they use Twitter and other social media to try to impact the public, and especially the youth here in France. That kind of thing has got to be dealt with. There's no doubt about it. But it seems to me that there's a certain amount of naivete in the way in which the present government is dealing with this.
I'm wondering about the attempts to do this before. Has this been tried in France or tried elsewhere in the European Union successfully?
Well, in France, if you go back to the time of Napoleon worked out an arrangement with the Jews of France to make sure that they were going to be assimilated and they were not going to create problems for French government. He managed this, but this was a very, very careful kind of operation which didn't deal with a religion that ever was trying to take over the country or bring people out of its legal system into something like the Islamic Sharia law. There wasn't anything like that. So that really isn't much of an analogy. And previous governments, such as the Sarkozy government, which was to the conservatives, they wanted to do something, and they made a suggestion to the Muslims, but the Muslims couldn't agree on it because the Muslims in France consist of older Muslims who are assimilated, and they are really more French than Muslim. And then the later immigrants, especially the youth, who have settled largely in suburbs, in low-class, low-income suburbs, and a lot of them don't have jobs, and they create the kind of social problems that exist whenever you have young people out of work. There are mosques that cater to both of these, and it wasn't possible for the Sarkozy government to get the Muslims to agree on anything. And it seems to me that Macron is not going to get any farther on this himself, because you don't find unanimity among the Muslim population in this respect. And anyway, even if he did succeed in pulling off something like that, the fact of the matter is that Islam is a radical kind of operation.
I'm curious about also Germany, which has had an enormous influx of Muslims. It's also trying to take the opportunity, at least in Lutheran circles, to use this as an opportunity for evangelization. But laying that aside, are other countries attempting anything like this as well?
Not that I know of, and we haven't gotten any reports of this. The fact is that at the present time, there are strong movements in Europe in a populist direction, the kind of movements that brought about Brexit, the United Kingdom's exiting the European Union owing to their dislike of the more open immigration policies of the European Union. And you have a situation in Hungary, for example, which has gone very, very, very conservative, very, very far to the right, and in some Scandinavian countries, you're beginning to see this, where the idea is somehow to restrain immigration. And the immigration crisis has been so critical over here and continues to be that the Western European countries simply can't assimilate all of the refugees from the warfare that's gone on in the Near East. And what do you do under these circumstances? It seems to me that there has to be a more radical closing of borders, except in the case of genuinely persecuted peoples. And there are such, and all. But I had a conversation with a former judge of the European Court of Human Rights just a couple of months ago, and he said, do you know that there are over 150 cases pending against Turkey because of the radical Islamic influence that has taken over in that country? And I talked with a high court judge in England who said, I've been in immigration, and he said 95% of all of the people coming in as persecuted haven't been persecuted to any extent at all. They just want a better lifestyle, which can be provided in the West. I did an article that appears in my book, Defending the Gospel in Legal Style, in which I argue that there ought to be much more stringent immigration standards to distinguish the genuine refugees from those who aren't. And I think that unless that's done, you're going to have an increase in this problem, even if you can somehow calm the existing immigrant population.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. He's director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. He will be making the legal case for the resurrection of Christ at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Dallas, Texas. Registration is $120. That includes three meals. Child care is free, courtesy of Wittenberg Academy, an online classical Lutheran school. You can find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas. On the other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit more about money flowing into France from Islamic countries and entities. You'll find real-life stories from women who have suffered miscarriage and infant loss in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt of Never Forsaken at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage, 800-325-3040.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a reform plan of Islamic institutions in France. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. Dr. Montgomery, a few minutes ago, you alluded to this. I think you had mentioned Saudi Arabia and some of the money flowing in from that country into France. But talk about the money flowing into France from Islamic countries and organizations, sometimes to build mosques, sometimes to build schools, and the tendency, I think it's probably implied in the Politico article, that that money has a tendency to split the loyalties of Islamic immigrants.
Yes, it certainly does. And the fact of the matter is that because of the separation of church and state, the government cannot subsidize the building of mosques or help the Islam or the local Muslim populations to feel better about the state. The money comes from outside. It comes from Muslim countries such as Saudi Arabia, but also Turkey and Egypt. And therefore, naturally, when that's the source of the money, the French Muslim tends to see those countries as friends, not as enemies, and tends to have greater movements of a loyalist nature toward them than toward their own country or where they're living. And this is highly dangerous. And it seems to me that it certainly would be possible for the French government and other governments to put a cap on this kind of thing. And unless they do this, they're leaving an area of great danger in the total picture.
What about the message that is coming from the French mosque? Is there something that the government can do about that? That seems to be probably maybe the thorniest of all the issues here.
Well, yes, you see, that's why Macron would like to have political control over the centers for the instruction of imams, the mosque leaders, and he would also like to limit the arrival of religious leaders from countries like Saudi Arabia. He would like to have homegrown imams, as it were. Now, that would certainly be an improvement. But one of the biggest problems in all of this is that very few people understand that Islam, by its very nature, is a totalitarian system that wants to force an entire nation into its orbit. The Sharia law, for example, is a legal system apart from other legal systems. And if Islam gets control in any country, they will force Sharia law on everybody. And the Christians and the Jews and members of other religions, if they don't go along with this, as in the history of Islam, were forced to pay higher taxes and penalties because they were not Islam, weren't Muslim. And so the problem is that this Islam forces itself on others. There was a recent case that came before the European Court of Human Rights where in Switzerland, a Muslim wanted to have and sued to have a separation of athletic instruction between boys and girls in elementary school before the kids even reached puberty. Now, even the Quran doesn't require that. After puberty, yes, they have to be separated. But the fact of the matter is that this fellow would have forced, if he could have, all of the elementary schools throughout the entire country of Switzerland to create separate gyms and separate athletic activities for boys and girls, even at 5 and 6 years of age. And this is just an example of how the Muslim mentality operates. And that mentality, of course, is hideously dangerous. It's just dreadfully dangerous. And, you know, if alongside of this, let's say, one puts Christianity, Christianity is based upon historical fact concerning God coming to earth, performing miracles, fulfilling prophecy, rising again from the dead. Islam is based upon a book which is so confused that the chapters are organized by length and not by content. And the founder probably didn't write one word of it. He was probably illiterate and picked up the information you get in the Quran in the course of selling and buying camels. The difference is extraordinary between these two religions, and it just goes to show how important it is that Christians know their faith and know the evidence for their faith. Because if they just go to church the way a Muslim goes to the mosque because of a tradition, then you've got a hopeless situation.
What can the United States and Canada learn about this in terms of immigration policy and then the kinds of domestic policies that would in some way help to, because we're really talking here about assimilating into Western civilizations.
Yes, we certainly are. And I would suggest to the listenership that they take a look at my very detailed scholarly article on immigration policy that appears in the book, Defending the Gospel in Legal Style. There I provide a sample questionnaire for immigrants of Muslim background. And I think that the current U.S. government, it may be a little strange owing to the personal character of the president, nevertheless does see how important it is to tighten immigration policies and to make sure that there is a national criterion for the arrival of people from other countries. I think that's one of the very, very important things. Beyond this, since there is separation of church and state in the United States, just as there is in France, beyond this, the only way to deal with the Muslim ideology is for Christians to know what Islam believes and know what Christians believe and actively engage in witness to Muslims. And that has hardly been the way in which things have operated. I mean, this is one of the areas of apologetics, of the defense of the Christian faith, which I think is simply critical. If we could get the gospel across to the Muslim traditionalists, that would pull them away from this thing and lower the problem immensely.
Finally, in France's case, they are making these efforts. They've tried before in previous administrations, but as of today, is the cat out of the bag, so to speak? Have they reached a point of no return when it comes to the influence of Islam in their society?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. One of the other problems connected with this, of course, is the high Muslim birth rate and the lowering birth rates in Christian countries. The fact of the matter is that if simply on the basis of numbers, Islam keeps increasing and Christian churches keep decreasing, obviously this is going to hurt Western Christendom immensely. So there's that difficulty. Pardon my putting it this way, but the so-called intellectuals of the West have never come to terms with Islamic ideology. The so-called intellectuals regard Islam as a nice religion on the same level as Christianity and other religions, and not a danger. They distinguish between the extremists within Islam and other religions, but they don't see that the extremism in Islam is inherent in the very ideology itself. And therefore, in Western countries, you can criticize Christianity, but if you criticize Islam, by golly, you are going to be regarded as a bigot. And we've got to change that mentality. We're not talking about bigotry or discrimination. We're talking about a damnable ideology, an ideology which will destroy Western values if it ever gets control. And if we don't see this, you know, if you don't understand the danger, you're certainly not going to be concerned enough to deal with it.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is emeritus professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's professor at large with 1517, the Legacy Project, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. He's authored and edited more than 50 books, including Defending the Gospel in Legal Style and his latest, Be Ready Always. You can purchase his books and find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights held annually in Strasbourg, France at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Montgomery, thank you.
You're most welcome.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Jean Edward Veith has started writing a monthly column for the Lutheran Witness magazine on news worth noting. The Lutheran Witness interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, and you can check it out at cph.org/witness, cph.org/witness. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll be talking with Dr. Anthony Esselin about the priestly abuse scandal in the Roman Catholic Church. He's going to tell us what it is and what it is not about. We'll also continue our series on marriage, discussing the blessings of marriage in Genesis chapter 2 and John chapter 2 with Pastor David Peterson. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.